Now, the story of King Solomon's prayer for wisdom can be found in 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 15. And I encourage you, we're not going to read it now. We've already had an overview of the video, but I encourage you to go and have a read of that and absorb that moment between God and Solomon. But when we look back in chapter 2 of 1 Kings, we recognize something interesting, that even before God gives or grants King Solomon wisdom, we are told that King Solomon already had wisdom. King David, Solomon's father, was giving him his last instructions before his death, and speaks about Joab, who had wronged not only Israel, but also King David. And David says to his son Solomon in chapter 2, verse 6, "Act therefore according to your wisdom," he says to Solomon. "Act accordingly to your wisdom, but do not let this grey head go down to Sheol in peace." Why, if Solomon was already wise, is he asking for more wisdom from God? Is the question that we need to ponder. Like Solomon, we are all made in the image of God. Every single one of us, whether a believer or not. And because wisdom is an aspect of God's character, we all have some ability to exercise wisdom in our everyday lives. But that doesn't mean that that when we face tough decisions, tough situations, hard times, or even when someone comes to us and asks for our wisdom, it doesn't mean that we always know what to say. It doesn't mean we always know how to answer those people, even though we may have an element of godly wisdom already. Solomon knew this, which is why, when asked by God what he wanted, Solomon used his already God-given wisdom to make the wise decision to ask God for more wisdom in order to be able to rule God's people well. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, we find a verse which is attributed to King Solomon, which contains some truthful principles that we can learn in relation to godly wisdom. And I just want to briefly bring and highlight three in the few minutes we've got left, highlight three before we close. So the verse in question is Proverbs 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. The first point I just want to highlight is godly wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. Godly wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. To fear God doesn't necessarily mean we are to have a dread of God or to be terrified of Him. To fear God is to have a profound respect, a profound reverence of God, and be in awe of His power and of His holiness. We grow in our respect and reverence of God's power and holiness through our growing in knowledge of Him. We do this with the Holy Spirit's help, via our studying of His word, through our prayers, in our observations of creation, and through God's working in and through our everyday lives. But as we grow in our knowledge, we then need to lean upon wisdom to to use and apply that knowledge wisely in our decision making. Which is why, as we've already read, James says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. But we would be unwise to assume that this deeper wisdom of God is available to all people. As we shared with the children, James goes on to say, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. As in all things pertaining to God and holiness, those who desire to have a deep relationship with God must first repent, place their faith in Jesus and his atoning sacrifice upon the cross, and then live sacrificial life as a disciple of Jesus is. To assume that God will pour out his wisdom upon us without surrendering our lives to Jesus or living and acting as he calls us to live and act is in itself unwise to do. David was a righteous man. David feared God. He worshipped God and he lived his life for God. Didn't mean he got everything right. He did make mistakes. But because of his heart and his desire to want to live for God, it was through that which is why God blessed him with deep wisdom to be able to do what he wanted to do for God, which was to lead his people well. The second aspect of this verse that I just want to highlight is godly wisdom is not the same as godly knowledge. Godly wisdom is not the same as godly knowledge. It is often assumed that wisdom and knowledge are intertwined. And in some respects they are, but they also differ. According to the English dictionary, knowledge is defined as, and I quote, facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education and the theoretical and practical understanding of a subject. But wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge and that experience to make good decisions and judgments. These words from Got Questions helps to break this difference down further. And they say this: wisdom is the fitting application of knowledge. Knowledge understands that the light has turned red. Knowledge understands that the light has turned red, but wisdom applies the brakes. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom walks round it. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments. Wisdom obeys them. Knowledge learns of God. Wisdom loves God. See the difference? Read through Solomon's account of his life and you will recognize that he was a knowledgeable man. He had knowledge of what it looked like to lead after observing his father do it for many years. But having knowledge of leading doesn't mean that he will lead well, which is why he needed godly wisdom. Many over the years have had knowledge of God's word. There are many academics in academia who know God's word a lot better than we do, i.e. the words on the page and the history of it all. But their lack of wisdom hasn't seen God in it, the real living God, because it's knowledge. Many have had knowledge of God's word yet have lacked the wisdom to discern and apply it wisely to the head and the heart. This lack of wisdom has led to them misguiding, or not all, but some, have led to misguiding themselves and others, but has also led to terrible atrocities done in God's name, which are now forever written in the books of history. Difference between knowledge and wisdom. Friends, we all have knowledge of worldly subjects, do we not? Knowledge of life, knowledge of scripture, but we need to strive to balance that knowledge with wise application. And God knows this, which is why, for the believer, he says, ask, trust in faith, and I will direct you. And the last point I just want to make on this verse is godly wisdom is a gift for the humble, not the foolish. It's a gift for the humble, not the foolish. Just to remind ourselves, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The opposite of wise decision-making is foolish decision-making, based upon what the Oxford Dictionary says is a lack, and I'm quoting now, a lack of good sense and judgment. Stupidity. It's a great word, that, isn't it? Stupidity. It just flows off the... Right? Foolishness from a Christian biblical worldview is the misuse of the intellect that God has given us. If we misuse this intellect that God has given us, then by nature of that, bad decision making is going to flow. It's going to follow. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about this difference between wisdom and foolishness. We haven't got time to look at them all today, as it pertains to everyday life. But just a couple for you. Proverbs 14:16 says, "The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence." See the difference? Proverbs 15:5, "Only a fool despises a parent's discipline." You listening, kids? "Only a fool despises a parent's discipline." It's not just the kids, it's adults as well. All right? "Whoever learns from their correction is wise." Isn't there that sense often, particularly as our children get to teenage years, of this, we know it all. We don't need to listen to our parents' wisdom. What do they know? They don't understand the world. You know, we're down, we get it, you know, we understand it. And then later on in life, when they grow in their wisdom, you often find those conversations, "You were right." Yeah? Now, it's not just, I'm picking on the teenagers here, but that can happen at any age, right, through life. But we see it. We see it happen. And what about this powerful verse in Psalm 14:1? "Only fools say in their heart, there is no God." Wisdom through our knowledge and our willingness to grow in our knowledge of the world around us will see God. God is everywhere. Yahweh is everywhere. Creation, the birth of a baby, the intricacies of a wing of a bird. God is everywhere. But the fool says in their heart, "There is no God." Or maybe there's a different God. That's another conversation. An unwise fool will often choose not to humble themselves under the instruction and guidance of others. Instead, they choose to befriend the arrogant know-it-all attitude within themselves. Solomon himself had this choice to make. But instead of choosing the foolish, arrogant path, as so many other kings had done, he chose in this moment with God to humble himself and recognize that he lacked the wisdom he needed to lead God's people. He had wisdom, we know that. But to lead the magnitude of the task that was before him, he needed more wisdom. And even the king humbled himself and said, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own, nor do I want to do this on my own. Solomon wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, but he understood the power and importance of humble instruction by God and those people that God placed in his life to guide them. And I would suggest that that's a good lesson for all of us. Amen? Amen. Amen.